The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. And lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm a friend.
Good day. The Almighty Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. If you die as an unbeliever, your spirit will live for a very long time as a disembodied ancestor spirit or demon. The Creator has said regarding unbelievers, why would I want someone to spend eternity with me when they do not believe I exist? If you die as a believer without any form of relationship with the Creator, you'll end up in the outer darkness, a cold, black, terrible place, with weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, your teeth, the trash heap of heaven. Father has said concerning such believers, why would I want someone to be close to me in heaven, which inherently means I will give them great prestige and authority, if they do not have a deep personal relationship with me and have not proven to me that they can be trusted in this life? In stark contrast, if you make a real effort to seek relationship with the Almighty, the rewards in the life to come are huge. A glorious resurrected body, great prestige, great authority, and a permanent close relationship with the Creator and with Yahushua, who you may mistakenly know as Jesus. If you've not read the book, The Final Quest, I encourage you to do that. To put this all in context, the Almighty has said, I created human beings, this planet and this universe, for men and women to be my friends, my companions, to explore and learn and develop together. My greatest grief is that almost no person understands this, let alone seek such a relationship with me. Today we're going to continue with my message, Can You Prove the Bible Is the Holy Word of God? This is part two. The overview, at one stage I received a number of emails from a very committed Christian challenging certain statements I'd made. His basic thesis was that I was contradicting what is contained in God's holy word, i.e. the Bible, and therefore I would burn in hell for eternity. This broadcast seeks to continue to rebut this argument. We will continue to rebut the lie that the Bible is closed and also that it is accurate and without error and exclusive, and we will look at other factors. We will then look at what is true about the Bible. I will then share on why I believe and talk about my experience in the Anglican Church as a teenager. I will then share that Father Yah spoke to me audibly in March 1993, that on the 25th of December 1993, Father gave me a prophetic message for an Anglican priest, that on the 2nd of January 1994, Father put his hand on me and anointed me. I share various other incidents that strengthen my deep conviction of the reality of the Creator. Finally, we look at the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator. By way of introduction, who am I? James Robertson. I have a doctorate in engineering and I'm a retired military commander. I now work as a management consultant. I have over 30 years' experience of actively seeking to draw close to the Almighty following a dramatic encounter with him on the 12th of March 1993 when he spoke to me audibly in a locked room and I knew for certain that he was real. I was confirmed in the Anglican Church at the age of about 13 and served as an altar boy for a number of years from the age of 19. Eventually, married to an unbeliever, I became disenchanted with the hypocrisy in the church and backslid to a point where I was not even sure the Almighty existed. In this backslidden state, I embarked on an adulterous affair which, when it ended, left me desperate and suicidal. It was then that the Almighty spoke to me and I realized that my intellect had gotten me into a right mess, and I chose to serve him faithfully for the rest of my life. In doing this, I applied my deep-seated aversion to failure, born out of an accident in early childhood, coupled to my engineering and military training of rigor and preventing failure, to my seeking of knowledge about Father. This journey led to numerous supernatural experiences, prayers answered, and clear communication with the Creator that forms the basis for what I teach in these programs. What is End Time Issue Ministries? It's the organizational vehicle for delivering my message through email articles, websites, this radio program, physical books, LinkedIn, Facebook, YouTube, SlideShare, and Twitter. What is this program? The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. It represents the essence of my message. See the website www.endtimeissueministries.org for more information. That's endtimeissueministries.org. See also www.relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. That's relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Click on the show on the top menu and podcasts on the drop-down. For previous broadcasts, or search on Google for Relationship with Creator Radio. You'll find there are at least three podcast websites that have back issues. So today we're going to look at continue looking at 2022:11:07. Can you prove that the Bible is the holy word of God? And we're going to continue looking at Life 5, the Bible is closed. There's a canon of scripture. Fundamentally, the only reason humankind exists is to be friends of the Creator, to have a relationship with Him, to talk to Him constantly, to be in dialogue constantly. See the article, Yah the Eternal, Yah the Creator, desires to have deep personal relationships with people who become His friends. The webpage is Creator Desires Friends. And also see 2021:06:04, the essence of becoming a friend of Yah the Eternal Creator. Accordingly, it is inconceivable that Yah would only speak to a few human beings for a few minute moments in time in order to create the intensely limited book that is the Holy Word of God. Frankly, if you stop and think about it, the concept is absurd. It really is, folks. There's this huge Creator who encompasses the entire universe, and He wants to have a relationship with you and me. And the way He goes about that is through one book. The Bible is a consequence of people being too lazy to have a deep personal relationship with the Creator. Then line number 6, the Bible is accurate and without error. This is inherent in the previous points. Once the Bible is the holy word of God and all dictated, then it is inherently without error. That's the belief of many people. The Bible is the word of God and without error. I've heard that said many times. This is palpably false. Matthew and Luke in Acts cannot even agree on how Judas Iscariot died. Once one starts looking, there are material inconsistencies and errors in the book. In this context, it is vital to recognize that with regard to the New Testament, Yeshua was a Jew, a Hebrew. He spoke Hebrew or perhaps Aramaic. His followers also spoke Hebrew or Aramaic. They certainly did not speak Greek. The texts made up the New Testament were copied any number of times by people with no academic rigor who applied their own spin to the work. These were then translated into Greek by people without academic rigor, who again applied their own spin, and these texts were likewise copied. By the time the Bible was compiled, it was a compilation of fragments acquired from various sources. If you just read the Bible critically, and we're talking here at the moment about primarily the New Testament, but similar comments apply to the Old Testament. If you read the Bible, in fact, let me say for the whole Bible, if you read most of the Bible critically, you will find that within the so-called books, it's fragmentary. There's a passage which says something, and then all of a sudden, there's another passage that says something else. So it's a little piece, a little piece, a little piece, all bolted together and then formatted to look like it's all one continuous text. Careful reading will reveal that the different books of both the Old and New Testament are fragmentary at best. The New Testament is particularly compromised in this way. One source suggests that there are around 1,250 material discrepancies between different New Testament sources, and the versions used in most Bibles were those that were most doctrinally consistent with the modern Christian apostasy, whereas those that were more accurate were frequently discounted and discarded. Search on Google for discrepancies in the Bible to see various discussions, which, as far as I'm concerned, are not relevant once the Bible ceases to be the holy word of God. Note that at a very early stage of my journey, Father said to me that humans had been messing with the Bible. There are 66 books in the Protestant Bible, with six being the number of man, and there were many important manuscripts locked away in a vault in the Vatican Library because they were too controversial relative to church doctrine. So not only is the Bible made up of fragments of text, it was censored when the texts were compiled, because there was already a de facto body of doctrine that was prevalent at the time the Bible was compiled. And the people who compiled the fragments did so against that prevalent doctrine. So anything that didn't fit the doctrine, which remains fundamentally doctrine in the Christian church today, was just discarded or disregarded or downplayed or whatever. Are you going to place your entire reliance for your destiny at the end of your life in heaven on the basis of a book that is composed of fragments assembled by people with prejudiced agendas? I wouldn't do it, folks. I really wouldn't. In line number 7, the Bible is exclusive. As an elaboration and extension of the previous points, those who champion the Bible is the holy word of God also champion that this is the only book relative to relationship with Father Yah, and all other writings are subservient and secondary and less authoritative. This point has been effectively addressed in my responses to the previous items. It simply does not make sense that Father Yah, in whom we live and move and have our being, in Acts 17:28, all human beings, would only communicate in minuscule amounts with a minuscule number of human beings over a very limited period of history. It is palpably absurd. 4 years ago, I compiled all my writings up to that point into a set of 15 books. The stack of books is literally that high, 9,000 pages. That's the writings of one human being in a period of about 15 years, because most of it was written after 2000. And yet we compress the word of God to one little book of at most 1,500 pages. How does that compute, folks? Father is huge. The world cannot contain everything that could be written about Father and his interaction with human beings. So why on earth limit yourself to one tiny book? As a further implication of this belief, it is claimed that unless a person follows specific points in the New Testament, it is not possible for them to enter heaven. This denies the reality of Muslims, Baha'i, etc., etc., where there are people who have belief in the Almighty Creator and who have the potential to qualify to enter heaven. This implies that Yah was constrained from communicating with Muhammad, Baha'u'llah, Zoroaster, and others that some people claim had a relationship with Yah. It's just not sensible, folks. It also leaves a huge question with regard to how the people who lived before Yeshua had any possibility of reaching heaven. Again, it's really silly. You say, along came Yeshua, 4,000 years from creation, and introduced a whole lot of new rules whereby if you didn't stick to those rules, you couldn't enter heaven. But what about all the people who lived before then? What about all the people who are not in Israel or in some way exposed to the teachings of Yeshua? Father is not unjust. Any human being who by their own evidence recognizes the existence of the Creator and says, I don't know your name, I don't know much about you, but I believe you exist, qualifies to enter heaven. They may not do very well, but there is a report, there's a video, a recording on my website of an African gentleman who came to belief in the jungles of Africa and came to a significant anointing and inspiration and learned about Father and went to the United States and taught Christians about a deeper relationship with Father. It's entirely possible. Other points. There are other extensions to this, like swearing oaths on the Bible, opening the book randomly and drawing conclusions about the supposed leading of the Almighty, etc., etc. The latter is charismatic witchcraft and should be eschewed at all costs. I hope that this has given you a fairer idea of why I say the concept of the Bible is the holy word of God is so outrageously false. It is also a lie that the King James Version is the holy word of God. It contains serious errors, translation errors, and it's merely one of the early attempts at rendering the Greek and Latin texts. Refer discussions on the website, particularly with regard to the names. See 2021-08-03, the essence of my message, renames on the website. Folks, I could go on and on, but I hope I've made my point. The Bible is a useful history book. It's good to have a Bible or maybe two or three different translations on your bookshelf, together with dozens, maybe hundreds of other books, links to websites, etc. But the most important thing is to have a deep personal relationship with Father. Get to a place where you can hear him clearly, where you can converse with him, that you can have dialogue with him. That's what he wants. That's what you were created for. It's available to you. So what is true about the Bible? At this point, you may think I'm totally opposed to the Bible. That's not the case. I have quite a collection of Bibles. So then, what do I hold is true about the Bible? The Bible is a reasonably accurate historic account of some important events involving anointed believers from which we can draw important lessons. It is one of thousands of books and articles we can draw on for information about the Creator and his ways. When the original fragments of the New Testament were collated, there was substantial satanic and demonic opposition, so that there was a fair amount of miraculous intervention to assemble the full collection of fragments. This is where the myth of the Holy Word of God originated. So, I hope I'm getting my point across. It's a useful reference book. You should read the Bible probably at least two or three times in very different translations. I suggest the King James, the Amplified, the Scriptures, maybe one or two others, but to my way of thinking, based on the way I see things today, three or four readings of the Bible is more than sufficient. And then recognize, yes, there have been times of great demonic oppression, satanic oppression, when it was very difficult to serve Father in the so-called Dark Ages, where there was massive persecution of those people who chose to truly serve Father. But again, if you are free of error, if you're free of sin, forces of darkness can't touch you. Continuing, if you go to the Bible exercising faith that the Bible is the Holy Word of God, you exercise something that Father calls force of faith, and you force Father to show up in the Bible with the result that he will answer your questions through reference to the Bible to the extent possible. And if you regard the Bible as exclusive, you will totally constrain him in what he can communicate with you. About 2.5% of the Bible is inspired, and these verses contain really important principles and spiritual laws that are widely and successfully applied by many believers. This is where the greatest value lies, but it is not necessarily for the Bible to be the holy word of God for this to be valid. So, if you totally believe the Bible is the word of God and without error and so on and so forth, you force Father to show up because that's the only way he can interact with you, because you've put him in this box and you basically said to him, Father Yah, if you want to have a relationship with me, you must meet me in this box called the Bible, because if you don't meet me in the box called the Bible, it can't be you and I don't believe and I won't listen to you. That's what you do when you say that the Bible is the holy word of God and without error. You put Father in this tiny box called the Bible, and you constrain him from having the deep personal relationship he wants to have with you. You constrain him from answering your questions because you ask him questions that he can't answer because you don't believe it, because it's not in the Bible. The day that you reach a point of saying, if it's not in the Bible, I don't believe it, or Yah can't do it, is the day that you massively constrain the possibilities of your relationship with the Creator. So then, as I say, primarily the epistles in the back end of the New Testament are moderately inspired to some extent, not all of them. Read that a few times in particular. I recommend that a person should read the Bible in 3 or 4 times in different translations to draw learning from the book, and then move on to other sources of knowledge, of which there are thousands of different books available. The End Time Issues Ministries website alone contains a large amount of valid information, over 2,500 articles and 1,000 web pages. See the main menu and also the Google search and article search at the top of the menu to find information. Also the table of contents and the article keyword cloud also at the top of the menu. I recommend the following Bible version. Starting point, New King James or King James Version. The language is a bit archaic, but it's a relatively easy read. So what am I saying here? I'm saying you should read the Bible. And you should read the Bible as part of a repertoire of any number of other books and writings and websites that are worth reading. There are important stories in the Bible that will give you a perspective on the journey of humankind together with the Creator from the beginning. Not a particularly detailed picture, but little cameos through time. The King James Version, one of the first English translations done with a lot of persecution, a lot of fundamental errors like God instead of the Almighty, and the Lord instead of Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing, and Jesus instead of Yeshua, and so forth. But it's a useful source, and the vast majority of Bibles in the world today are at some level derived from the King James Bible. Then the Amplified Bible, which is available in most Christian bookshops. It's on the internet, or you can get it through Amazon. See sermoncentral.com Bible, Amplified Bible, AMP, or BibleHub.com. The Amplified Bible amplifies the source text because English is a very limited language from this perspective compared to Greek or Hebrew or Aramaic. The script in the third Bible I would recommend you read is the Scriptures from the Institute of Scripture Research in South Africa, which is one of the most accurate translations. It's available to download in various places. It's also available from Amazon or from kodesh.co.za. It still contains doctrinal errors with regard to who Yeshua is, etc., so the Messiah and so forth. They all contain errors, folks. I have yet to come across a Bible that does not contain significant error. I'm not aware of one that's never been brought to my attention. And then the Old Testament, particularly the first five books of so-called books of Moses, although Moses didn't write them despite all sorts of conventions that he did, the Living Torah by Rabbi Ariah Kaplan, and further volumes, The Living Nacht, all available on Amazon. And it's a very readable and very informative Old Testament, a very interesting commentary. As a general rule, I don't recommend reading Bibles with commentaries, but this one is an exception. But the focus points, folks, is just to get a good feel for interactions with Father and to move on and say, Father, I desire to know you the way Yeshua knew you. I want to know you the way Ezekiel or Elisha or Elijah or Moshe or Abram or Noah or whatever knew you. It is vital to recognize that all versions of the Bible contain errors relating to doctrinal bias of the translators, and as mentioned previously, the Latin and Greek texts also contain indeterminate errors. In conclusion, taking account of all the above, are you now really in a position to prove solidly that the Bible is the holy word of God? I'm pretty confident that you can't. Been down the road, believed that there was the word of God, came to realize it wasn't. Spent the last 22, 23 years providing arguments, explanations as to why it's not, and increasingly seeing how it's constrained. I noticed the other day, listening to a teaching by somebody who believes the Bible is the word of God, dipping in, there's a verse there, and there's a verse there, and there's a verse there. There's no coherent passage of the Bible that dealt with the topic he was dealing with. And basically, a lot of what he was sharing is what he had been given by inspiration by the Spirit of Yah. It wasn't in the Bible anywhere. And yet he still says the Bible's the word of God. Folks, it doesn't compute. It really doesn't compute. The Bible is a useful reference book. You can ask Father questions and you can amplify elsewhere. I hope I've persuaded you. So I'm going to move on now, 2021-0502, Why I Believe. It occurs to me that while I write with great confidence regarding the existence of the Almighty Creator, whose true name is Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing, it might be helpful to share a few of the experiences that give me this confidence. This may or may not help you directly, but I hope it will challenge you to grow to a point where you can have similar experiences. One of the things that gets my attention from time to time, I believe, because in March 1993, in a locked hotel room, Father spoke to me as clearly as you can hear me now. At that moment, I knew with total certainty that he was real. I've never backtracked on that conviction. What I'm about to share with you are a whole series of experiences that have reinforced that understanding. And I share them with you from a point of view of helping you, if you've not had such a dramatic experience, to come to a place of deep conviction of the reality of the Creator. I desire for you to have a deep personal relationship with Father Yah, deeper than the relationship that I have. I've been through a very torrid journey, a bitter divorce with the church opposed me, and they were totally out of line. A number of bad choices in terms of life partners that turned out not to be life partners. I've been spiritually and emotionally beaten up on a number of occasions. I've lost a number of anointings. It is possible for you to be closer to Father Yah than I am, and I want that for you. And I'm here to help you get there. So by way of a preface, I was confirmed in the Anglican Church at the age of 13. I grew up in an Anglican family and I went to an Anglican church. At the age of about 13, I was confirmed by the bishop and had a very limited conversion experience that moved me to the standing of believer. I subsequently gave limited service, including as an altar boy, from the age of 19 for about 4 or 5 years, at which point I walked away from the church because I was offended by the attitude of the priest and the hypocrisy of the church. I progressively backslid to a point where by 1991 I was effectively atheist and I got into an adulterous relationship with my secretary. So I've walked a long road as a believer at some level. And in those early days, it was very superficial. I didn't have anybody to help me get closer. I didn't know it was possible to get closer. The churches that I went to didn't really place a lot of reliance on the Bible, so they were very traditional, very, I'm not sure what the right word would be to use, but their teachings were sort of practical life teachings. They weren't based on huge revelation of Father. They weren't given by people who spoke freely of their relationship with Father. So it was a pretty sterile environment and was easy to get offended and backslide because what was to in the Bible to an extent that one became aware of it was not what the church was teaching, and the church were doing things that were just really unacceptable. So not a good time. So I backslid completely. 12th of March 1993, Father spoke to me audibly. The relationship came out in the open in early 1993. I discovered I was deeply in love with my mistress but could not be with her. I ended up in a hotel room figuring out how to kill myself when at about 7 a.m. on the morning of 12th of March 1993, in a locked room, the Almighty spoke to me audibly, out loud, and I knew instantly who it was. And when I say out loud, I mean as loud as you can hear me now. He told me to phone a friend, Ian Peters, and that friend shared his living relationship with the Almighty and led me back to the Almighty. At that point, I clearly got the message that I'd been on the fast track to hell, repented, turned around, and started strenuously seeking to build my relationship with Father Yah. Since he'd spoken to me audibly, it never occurred to me that he would not speak to me again, so I went forward expecting to hear from him. That experience of the Almighty speaking to me, coupled with my realization of heading for hell, has kept me more or less on track ever since. I threw myself into serving him who had spoken to me. I started going to church several times a week, listening to teaching tapes, worshiping at every opportunity, reading the Bible, and everything else I could get my hands on. And I grew rapidly in my relationship. So yes, I got a lot out of Christianity, out of the Christian charismatic church. I wouldn't be where I am today without them. And I've recently come to a realization that there are a lot of fundamental principles that I learned in those early days that I've never expounded on the website because they're not my gifting. And so I've recently taken to sharing articles, particularly YouTube recordings of Christian teachings around a whole range of spiritual practices. So that left me with deep conviction of the reality of the Almighty. Then 25th of December 1993, so about 9 months later, I was given a message for an Anglican priest and his wife. On a two-hour drive to celebrate Christmas with my sister, the Almighty gave me a message for the Anglican priest who would be officiating in the church. It was the first time I'd actually gone to a stranger and spoken in the name of the Almighty, so I pushed back hard. I did not want to do it. Throughout the service, the Almighty kept reminding me to speak to the priest. At the end of the meeting, as people were leaving, I went up to the wife of the priest and very tentatively gave her the message. She was exultant, and she shouted out at the top of her voice, "Trevor, this brother has the word we've been waiting for." We became friends, and they invited me to minister in their main church on a number of occasions. This experience encouraged me considerably, and I've given many other people messages from the Almighty since then. not all of which have been so gratefully received. So what I got out of that experience, folks, was that I was hearing Father, and I truly believed I was hearing him. But it's a whole different ball game to go to somebody and give them a message from Father and for them to recognize that message came from Father. It's an affirming experience. As I say, I've given words to all, prophetic words to all sorts of people, and some people are exultant and some people just don't get it. And what's sad about it is most of the time they go and do the opposite of whatever Father's telling them to do. In the early morning of the 2nd of January, 1994, Father put his hand on me. A few days later, I was reading the book Good Morning, Holy Spirit by Benny Hinn. I could not put it down, and I was deeply impacted by his story of his encounter with Father Yah. About 3 a.m., I went to bed, and lying on my stomach, I prayed, Father, I desire to know you the way that Benny Hinn does. After some time, my bedroom was filled with a mighty roaring sound, and I experienced intense pressure pressing me into the bed, which I subsequently understood to be Father's hand. I woke the next morning with a strong anointing in filling of the Spirit of Yah. My new secretary arrived for work in tears. Her brother had committed suicide. I held her hands and prayed for her, and what felt like an electric current passed between us. She looked at me wide-eyed and immediately experienced supernatural peace. Numerous other incidents followed, including healings, etc. My church did not recognize me because I'd not been to Bible school and not to their Bible school, and they'd not taught me, so my ministry was largely low-key and undercover. Couple of points there. If you have never gone to Father and said, Father, I desire to know you like Yeshua, like James, like whoever has had an impact on you, you're not going to get the sort of experiences that I'm talking about. I was blessed. I believe I was impressed to pray that prayer. But once you've had an experience like that, it's very difficult to backtrack, although the strange thing is that a lot of people do backtrack. Then my car carried by messengers, angels. Some months later, I was in a motor vehicle accident where I was late to catch an aeroplane and was speeding on a winding mountain road. And when I came around a corner and hit a pool of mud and lost control of the car, which slid sideways off an embankment about 10 feet high. As the car left the road, I cried out to Father, and his messengers caught the car and laid it gently at the foot of the slope. It should have rolled down the hill, but instead my pen and diary, which were open on the passenger seat, remained in place and were not displaced at all. I was not injured or even shaken. I got out of the car, took my briefcase and my suitcase, climbed up the embankment, stood on the side of the road, and a passing motorist gave me a lift into the local village. I went to the police station because I was going to see a general in the correctional services department in Pretoria, and they phoned the airport, put the aircraft on standby, and with a blue light flashing, drove me to catch my plane. I've met other people who have had experiences where their car came off the road and they were carried by angels. It's entirely possible, folks, if you are praying regularly, I thank you that your messengers, angels, encamp around me to protect me, that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. If you're walking in that faith, Father will protect you. If you cry out to him and say, Yeshua, Yah, save me, he will protect you. He will send his messengers to protect you. On another occasion, there was a construction vehicle late at night with this beeper going. It was obviously parked in reverse. And after about half an hour, I just said, Father, please, will you send a messenger to turn that thing off? And literally, it stopped immediately. It's just another little evidence of the reality of these things. In Malawi in 1994, the assembly falls under the power of the Spirit of Yah. A few months later, I was in Malawi ministering in an assembly through a translator. The power of the Spirit of Yah flowed through me, and eventually almost the entire assembly of about 50 people was lying on the floor sobbing as they were convicted of sin and other things. I only touched a few of them. It was a very powerful experience. So the Spirit of Yah manifested through me into these people, and they all just progressively collapsed onto the floor, moving back further away from me. Folks, if you've ever done that or been used to do that, it's a very, very amazing experience. I don't know how to describe it. But that is another example of things that have happened to me that lead me to say with complete certainty, the Almighty Creator is real, that His spirits are real, that His anointing is real. And it's available. I know how I got there, and it's available to you. You've got my website and everything there to help you to get there. I didn't have a lot of that. I had some of that, for example, as I said, the book Good Morning, Holy Spirit by Benny Hinn, Charismatic Church. But they didn't recognize a lot of the things that I experienced because of their prejudiced view of I hadn't been to Bible school and so forth. And Bible school forces people into a particular regime that's not helpful. Then again, in Malawi 1994, Yah speaks through me, and I spoke about this a few minutes ago. The next day, I went to a meeting with the general secretary of one of the major assemblies in Malawi, the Assemblies of God, together with the two pastors who had been at the meeting the previous night. After a few minutes of conversation, Father told me to move the coffee table out the way because he was going to slay this man in the spirit. I got up to walk towards him, and as he stood up to meet me, and while I was still about 3 feet from him, he was knocked sideways by the power of the spirit that was on me. Father immediately started to speak through me. I had no thought or control over what came out of my mouth. I was just the vessel that Father was using to speak to this man. Again, if you've had an experience like that, it's very difficult to go back on it, although I know of people who have. Then the Day of Atonement 2014, from August to December, receiving dictation. I subsequently lost the above anointing through a brutal divorce after I discovered that my wife had betrayed me and the church took her side. I've mentioned this before in previous broadcasts. I reached a point in 2014 where for a period of some months I was having a dialogue with Father, and he would repeatedly dictate to me little snippets of a paragraph or maybe two, which are on the insights page on the website. So in conclusion, I speak to Father and hear him constantly. I speak to him constantly and hear him constantly, as in throughout the day, every day. He's totally real to me, and my desire is to serve him faithfully to the end of my life and qualify for a high throne with him for eternity. He desires such a relationship with you. I can't stress this enough. Father wants you to be his friend. So in closing, what is the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator? I'd like to ask you to critically examine where you are relative to the Almighty Creator. Do you talk to him constantly throughout the day and allow him to lead you in every possible way? Are you conscious of him at all times? Do you worship him at every opportunity? Do you count him your friend? Have you clearly and unambiguously heard him call you friend? If not, you're failing in your life purpose, and you'll be bitterly disappointed when you die. Folks, as I say, every broadcast, or pretty much every broadcast, the universe is huge. Relative to you and me, the solar system is huge. The sun is huge. The earth is huge. But relative to the entire universe, the earth is microscopic. You and I are microscopic. But all of this was created for one reason only. Father Yah, the Almighty Creator of the heavens and the earth, wanted to have friends, people who would have a deep relationship with him, people who would converse with him, dialogue with him, do things together with him, invent things, make things. He wants to play an active role in your life. He wants to play an active role in your work. He wants to play an active role in your domestic affairs. He wants to play an active role in your relationships. He wants to be involved in every part of your relationship, of every part of your life. That's why we exist. And if that is not so in your life, you are missing it. I'm sorry to say, you're going to get a nasty shock on the day that you die. And Father's going to say to you, well, what happened? I gave you this life in order to have a relationship with me, and you made no effort. That would be a horrible experience. So a few things on the website that are worth looking out for. The video, Why Seek Relationship, if you've not watched it, I ask you please to do so. The article, Miracle of Yeshua's Death, The Creator Desires a Deep Personal Relationship with You, 7 Components in Drawing Close to the Creator, Recommended Worship, Creator's Name is Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing, The Essence of My Message to Christians, also articles for Jews, Muslims, other faiths, and unbelievers, all available at www.endtimeissueministries.org. Transcript of nearly all teachings in the series are available on the website at the bottom on the radio page. Recordings of nearly all of the teachings broadcast so far are available on the radio page, and they're all available at relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Click on the show and then podcasts, or search on Google for, quote, Relationship with Creator Radio, unquote. Books constituting a compilation of most writings published since 1998 until May 2019 are available near the bottom of the menu at the compilation of most writings page. I publish regular email articles. Email me on james@endtimeissueministries.org to be added to the list, or to seek counsel, prayer, or give me feedback. Visit the website and use the Google search, the article keyword cloud, the table of contents, and the article search to locate the information you're looking for. Folks, if you're finding it difficult to find some of the articles that I've referred to, put the title in Google and search on Google on the internet, or on the site search on the top menu, or else copy and paste the table of contents into a Word document. And you can then use the normal Word search to find what you're looking for. In closing, thank you for listening. Please send me your questions to james@endtimeissueministries.org. Please email me to join the mailing list at james@endtimeissueministries.org. If you decide to draw close to the Almighty, please let me know, and I can connect with you by Skype, Zoom, email, or telephone so that I can help you with your journey. I hope to connect with you again next week, when I will continue to explore how to become a friend of the Creator. Work with me to make a way for Yeshua to return in victory at the end of the millennium and make his enemies his footstool. I say this pretty much every broadcast. Father wants you to become his friend. It doesn't matter where you are now. It doesn't matter if you're steeped in sin. Doesn't matter if you're a prostitute. Doesn't matter if you're a business executive, teacher, whatever. Doesn't matter what you do right now. Witch, warlock, Satanist, Christian, Jew, Muslim, Baha'i, Buddhist, Mormon, whatever. Father Yah desires for you to become his friend. Doesn't matter if you're rich or poor, tall or short, fat or thin, educated or uneducated, African, Asian, European, Caucasian, whatever, Christian, Muslim, Jew, Mormon, Buddhist. He wants you to become his friend. So, Father Yah, in the name of Yeshua, James Robertson says, I can become your friend. Help me to become your friend. Help me to know what to do, what to read, what to listen to. Help me to become your friend. You can do that right now. Thank you so much. Good night.
Father, I come to you.
my